Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You're listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Today, for most of the show, we're doing an interview with Chicago group, the Conquistadors. So we got members of the group up in here now. So the first thing I want to set straight is the name of the group is not the Conquistadors, it's the Conquistadors, right?
That's right, correct.
So who are the people up in here? Who can you introduce yourselves?
Yes, I'm Ronnie McLaughlin.
Irving Coleman.
Roger Phillips.
John Wynn.
Okay, and we might have Tyrone McCullough on the phone later in the interview. So first of all, could you talk about what part of Chicago are you guys from?
West Side.
So specifically, like, what area, like, what streets are you from?
From between
16th Street, Douglas Park.
Douglas Park area.
Okay.
Yeah, Douglas Park. West, North Lyndale is what they refer to as.
Okay. So, and you guys formed in, like, the early 60s, right?
Right.
Yeah, early 60s. It was 1960.
Okay.
In the summer of 1960.
So did you guys form in high school, and who were the original members that formed the group?
Actually, we were in eighth grade.
Okay.
And the original members that formed the group are sitting here in the room now.
Okay.
Irving Coleman.
No.
Who?
You and I first. Then we got John, remember?
John came later.
Yeah, John came later. Irving was first.
Irving.
It was you and I, John.
And then,
Irving and then.
Then John.
So what? So what's the story? You in eighth grade, who were the people that formed the group in the eighth grade, and then what happened?
Well, they were thinking about it then.
Okay,
just messing around, singing, you know,
in the hallways.
And all
so that was like 1960, around that time.
Right.
So around that time, like what sort of groups were you emulating, or was it just something kids did? Were there groups that you like wanted to be like, or what?
Temptations,
Shepherds.
Well, probably not the Temptations in 1960.
Not like
yeah.
The Shepherds.
Okay.
Spaniels.
The Spaniels. What's the guy's song? You Saw Me Crying in the
Drifters.
The Drifters, of course.
Okay. So then you guys just harmonized in the hallway, and you all did you all go to the same grade school, or what was it?
Yes.
Okay. And then.
Grade
center. And then, what high school did you guys go to?
Very good.
We went to Berrigan High School.
Okay.
Irvin, our bass singer, he went to Creek Gear High
School. Okay. And I understand you were classmates at Farragut with Little June and the Januaries, were some of the Mandels later.
Oh,
and Gene Terrell was in your school, too,
Gene
right?
Gene Terrell.
Yeah.
Later went on to sing with the Supremes.
So,
Ernie Terrell, the heavyweight.
Yeah.
Former heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, actually, the lady I interviewed a couple weeks ago, Rose Addison, she was in the Opals, but she sang with Ernie Terrell in the heavyweights, like in the late 60s, actually.
Oh, really?
So actually, you originally formed the group in high school, and so what would the original membership is your final membership? Is that so? What was the ultimate membership of the group? You had five members in the group?
We had five singers. Right.
Five singers.
Who were the five singers?
Well, originally, it was just five singers.
Myself, Ronnie, Irving,
Coleman.
Roger, John, and a
Guy.
Who we do not know where he is.
Okay.
We can't locate him.
Okay. So then you formed the group, and so what happened? You were just kind of singing. Were the talent shows you were doing in high school? What were you doing?
Yes, talent shows.
Talent shows.
We did one at the Lyndale Boys Club.
What really kicked it off is when we joined Teams of Talent at Sears Y, and we started singing at places like Studebaker Theater, World Playhouse, McCormick Place, and that's where we really got noticed in McCormick Place.
But we started off doing boys clubs. We did the Lyndale Boys Club. We won first place in the song and originality.
Okay, and so then that was like your first and second year of school. You were doing let's talk about you. So you started joined something called Teens with Talent.
Right.
So was that before you recorded your first record?
Right.
Yes.
So what's the story? What was Teens with Talent?
Well, it was a group of kids with not just singers, but it was musicians, do opera, ballet. They just wanted to show the kids in the ghetto or the poor neighborhood but had talent, and it was just a group of kids came together to showcase their talent.
Right. It was the Teens with Talent was originally formed at the Sears YMCA over on Kedzie in Arlington.
Okay.
It was formed by a guy who was a community activist. He worked for Illinois Bell Telephone Company at that time. His name is Al Johnson.
Okay.
And he took kids off the street and gave them something to do and a place to go.
So was it like a weekly talent show, a community center? What was it?
It was basically a community center. And we would go there. We would rehearse there. We would have our meetings there. And then once we formulated a musical or what would you call it a troupe.
Okay.
We would then go around doing shows at different theaters in and around Chicagoland area. Now we were some of the first African American performers to perform at the Studebaker Theater.
Okay.
Michigan Avenue.
Okay.
Orchestra Hall.
And all of that was while you were in high school.
Yes. Right.
And it was all through this Teens with Talent organization that Al Johnson had set up.
Right.
So were there a lot of other groups performing in Teens with Talent?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes. A group called the Constellations, which probably was, at that time they had more notoriety than we because they had been performing longer.
Some of the big
Bernard Reed came out of that group, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Quentin Joseph,
Kenny, their drummer, he went on and later played with Motown.
Okay.
Also Jimmy Hudson.
Okay.
And Jimmy Hudson, right.
And Jimmy Hudson was affiliated with you later, too, right? So then you were doing this thing called Teens with Talent, and was it, and you did, not only was it like you did weekly shows, you did shows lots of other places, too. And he'd put in a lot of charity shows, is that right?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we do some charity shows. We played all of the veteran hospitals, Hines, Veterans Hospital, the Veterans Hospital on North Lakeshore Drive, a lot of other hospitals, charitable organizations, the United Way, what they call it, the Red Feather or something back then. It was a Red Feather organization, and I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, we played all of those charity events. We performed in the downtown hotels and the ballrooms. United Council of Churches.
Fundraisers.
Okay.
Any fundraisers was one of the things that we did. We were affiliated with a lot of volunteer students from Northwestern University. Came out to North Lawndale and worked at the YMCA. So that was one of the ways that we got involved with doing shows on the North Shore and in the Skokie area and other suburban areas.
Okay.
Where we played for charitable organizations raising monies.
Okay, and then causes. So then eventually you guys ended up recording your first record.
Yes.
So actually I want to play the record first and then we can talk more about it, just so the listeners, can hear what you guys sounded like, too. So this first record is an excellent song. It's called Sadness and Madness. And who sang lead on this record?
I did.
John Wynn.
Okay, well, I'll play the record, and then we could talk some more. This is The Conquistadors with Sadness and Madness.
Yeah.
Okay, that was just the Conquistadors with their first record, Sadness and Madness. So they're up in here now telling their story. So what was the story? How did you? So at the time you were doing a lot of shows with the Teens with Talent organization. How did you end up actually getting a record deal and recording that record?
Well, we did a performance at Erytown Theater, McCormick Place.
Old McCormick Place.
And it was another charitable benefit for YMCA World Youth.
Right.
Something. And a record producer was there.
Okay.
And he saw us, heard us, liked us, and he offered us a deal.
What was the guy's name?
Zamata was the last name.
Charles Zamata.
So
he was funded through RCA, so we were what you would consider the first black rock and roll group to cut
a record with RCA, because the label was a subsidiary of RCA.
So the label he owned or he worked with was called Signet.
Right.
And that's it. So I think the only records on the label are the one he put out on you, and then I think there's a rock record. I can't remember the name of the group, but it was a rock record he put out.
Right.
So what was the story? That record is, you know, excellent kind of Chicago sound, and, you know, I would think it could have been a hit, but it definitely... So first of all, did it get some play in Chicago? Do you remember hearing
some play?
Yeah.
Some play we got, you know. But at that time, we didn't have the right people...
Pushing it.
Okay.
Because, you know, right. And we didn't know anything about the industry at that time.
Okay.
In terms of 17 years distribution.
Old. Okay.
Now, Charles Zamata, he had a budget, but he was really a novice at black music in terms of getting the proper airplay on the various radio stations at that time. WVON was big. Herb Kent played it. And in exchange, we would do Herb Kent sets at St. Philip Near Ride.
Like Record Hops you're talking about?
Right.
Okay.
We would perform for him.
It was a lot of favors that was owed to us in the record industry, and they've done favors by playing our songs.
Okay.
But that record, we interesting enough, we recorded that record here in Chicago.
Okay.
At RCA Studios.
Okay.
In Chicago. Live, meaning we had a 32-piece orchestra live.
So they didn't lay down a backing track and you...
It was all live. I mean, it was a studio full of musicians and singers.
Yeah.
We'll never forget that because that was a great experience for us.
Okay.
To work with musicians of that caliber. And a guy by the name of Monk Higgins.
Yeah.
Produced it and did the arrangement.
Yeah.
Jimmy Hudson, who came up with us during the Teens with Talent years, he wrote the song.
Okay.
And he wrote it for us. He found out we were going to record.
So that was your first like original song, is that right? So you did a lot of covers and stuff before when you did shows.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So
now we had a lot of other originals, Bob. Don't mean to cut you off. We had a lot of originals that we put down. We laid down tracks with Charles Zamata in his studio on the north side of Chicago, and we don't know what happened to him. But we laid down a lot of original tracks.
Okay.
Of music that was written by one of us or by Jimmy.
Okay.
We never ever. Heard from. Got it out on wax.
Yeah, it'd be excellent to hear some of that stuff if it ever surfaces.
It really would be. Because we were basically more polished at that time from when we initially started.
Okay.
60. And
we used to sing all the time.
Yeah. Charles Zamata had a deal with the old Babbling and Cats new movie theater chain.
Okay.
And so every summer we toured the Babbling and Cats theaters and performed live. Throughout Illinois,
Indiana,
Michigan, Iowa,
yeah,
Wisconsin, and our summers was just full of just traveling and.
And all of this was while you were still in high school.
We were still in high school
during summer breaks.
Okay,
yeah.
So and pretty much the only reason the record didn't get wasn't a hit was that Charles Zamata didn't promote it enough. You told me that he had split the budget with the rock group he recorded, is that right?
Yeah, right.
Like it was originally intended to record one group and then he So you didn't have enough money to promote it afterwards?
That's right.
So let me play the flip of the record, which is also really good, and then we could talk some more. So the B-side is called Lonely Was I. So who's singing lead on this record?
Roger.
And Roger, you were the regular lead on most of the records, right?
Yes.
Okay. So this is the B-side of the record, which is also really good. This is Lonely Was I by the Conquistadors. Okay, that was just the Conquistadors. That was just the Conquistadors with their record "Lonely Was I." The flip of their first record, "Sadness and Madness." And in addition to having four members in the studio right now on the phone, I have Tyrone McCullough. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Did I say your name correctly?
That's right.
Okay, cool. So one thing we didn't talk about yet was, in addition to being a singing group, you guys were a band and a group, right? A self-contained band and group, which is unusual. I think one of the few other groups like that in Chicago went to your school, the Mandels. So, Tyrone, you were in the band, right?
Yes. I was one of the guitar players.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So do you remember who the other members of the band were?
Yeah, the drummer was Bobby Neely, and the bass guitar player was Robert Hill, and we had a keyboard player by the name of Edward Chu.
Okay.
Yeah.
So were you like one of the? Do you remember how the band got together with the group, or like if the group originally formed as a singing group and then got a band, or what the story was?
We originally started as a singing group, and as the old doo-wop groups, we used to sing in the school cafeteria and down the halls and in the vestibule of buildings in the neighborhood.
Okay.
And we came up the old way, and in high schools, when we went to Farragut High School and Krieger High School, and we kind of mixed together with the neighborhood community programs like Teens with Talent. We were a member of that, and we went to the local YMCA and practiced there, and we did a lot of programs at the Y. And during that time, we decided we needed guitar players and musicians.
Okay.
So I myself was a drummer in high school, and we met the bass guitar player who was a keyboard player, and he was also in the band, and he actually taught me my first notes on the guitar, and I was a drummer, so I switched over to the guitar, and he picked up the bass guitar, and we went from there.
Okay. So were you an original member of the group when they were singing,
yes.
or did they approach you?
Yes,
to...
yes, I was. Yeah.
Okay, so he was singing with you guys too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, but you played guitar, which was convenient, so you ended up being their guitar player. So we were just talking about how the first record got recorded with this guy, Charles Amato,
right.
who had recorded the group. And then I guess the record didn't really get promoted well, so even though it was a good record,
yes.
it didn't go very far. So
that's true.
So what happened after that? Did you guys graduate from high school before the next record came out? What was the story?
Yeah, we had graduated.
Yeah, we had graduated and some was working.
Okay.
And on jobs, you know, we were waiting to make our big score. You
okay.
Not score. But the big break.
Looking for our big break.
So that first record, do you remember what year it came out?
The first one?
63, wasn't it?
No,
wow.
64.
Okay. So then you're... Your second record came out, I guess, after you guys, most of you guys had graduated from high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't remember
yes.
the year, but...
And so it came out, you formed Act 4 Production Company, is that right?
Yes.
So and then you released the record yourself, so what's the story with that?
Well, we were, the program was ending, Teens with Talent program was ending at the Sears YMCA.
Okay.
And because of our connections with the Babylon and Katz theater people, the old Central Park Theater there off the corner of Central Park and Roosevelt Road on the west side.
Okay.
There were offices upstairs that were unoccupied. And because, again, of our relationship with the Babylon and Katz corporate people, they donated office space to us.
Okay.
That's where we moved our operation, and we formed our own record company and production company.
Okay.
We would work in conjunction with the 24th Ward Democratic Youth Organization that put up the funds, and we produced a talent show monthly, stage show, that we put on at the Central Park Theater, where we would, it allowed us to showcase talent on the west side of Chicago, amateur talent on the west side of Chicago.
So the production company, who did you guys own Act 4 with Alvin Johnson? Was he affiliated with it? What was the
yes.
story?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Al Johnson.
Al Johnson. He was the guy who originally did the Teens with Talent, and then he
right.
was like, he approached you, or whose idea was it to form the production company?
Al Johnson.
Okay.
It was his idea that we should have our own production company and hence our own record company. Actually, it started as just a production company.
So just you wanted to put on shows of different
right.
groups and stuff.
Right.
So were you doing that, like, were you working and doing that, or were you trying to do that for a living, like this production company? What were you?
No, working.
We were working
and
doing
that.
But you had your own office spaces
right.
for it, you were talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah.
So then, so you put on shows with lots of local groups. Do you remember some of the groups? Were probably some of the same people you worked with in Teens of Talent?
Oscar Brown Jr. was in some of them.
Okay.
The Carnations.
Okay.
The Eminems, the Baby Miracles,
yeah. Yeah.
Garland Green.
Okay.
Who's a blues singer. Oh, wow. I mean...
So a lot of local talent originally came through your shows that you were doing.
That what we were doing, and because every show that we would do once a month, it was a real, real big thing, and the people in the community began to look forward to it. We'd had
big
premiere spotlights out front,
red carpet,
and it was just a big event.
Okay.
And it was backed by the local Democratic organization, which was 24th Ward at that time. George Collins was the alderman.
Okay.
And he was very popular in the community, and so we had his full support, and all of the kids would come and that had talent, and they would audition, and then we would put them on the show, and everybody had an opportunity to perform, whether they could sing and dance or not. It didn't
okay.
matter. It was an
we had
idea.
Dance groups and singing
right,
groups.
That we could showcase.
Solo.
you know, the talent that was found there.
So you were kind of the center of like community organization, like you were.
Yeah.
So then you ultimately, one of the things you did was actually ended up starting a record label with your production. In addition,
yes,
it's called Act 4 Records.
Right.
And you put out a record on yourselves, which was, So the title was You've Been Good and Can't Stop Loving You.
Right.
Yes. Do you remember which one was the A-side?
Can't Stop Loving You.
I believe that was the A-side, yes.
Okay, well, I'll play Can't Stop Loving You, and we'll talk a little bit more. So this record probably came out a couple years after your first record, is that right?
Right.
Yes.
So probably around 66, 67 this record came out. This is the Conquistadors with Can't Stop Loving You. Okay, that was just the Conquistadors with their second record that they released on their own label called Act 4. That was called Can't Stop Loving You. And we were just talking about how that had a more like Motown kind of sound on that record. So were you specifically going for that sound at the time? Or do you remember?
Yeah. You know, actually, that was the big sound back then during that time,
okay.
The Motown sound, and everybody wanted to duplicate it.
Okay.
And we had our own musicians just as Motown. As we later found out, all of the musicians that played on all of the Motown hits were it was the same musicians.
Okay.
And, you know, that was found out only in later years. But we did the same thing, and we were just trying to duplicate the sound of the times.
It wasn't so much as duplicate. We thought we were getting our own sound.
Okay.
As you begin to sit back and listen to it, it does sound, you know,
Motown,
but it was
yeah.
really our sound.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's
kind of like the sound of the time.
Sound of
right.
the times, more
right.
or less, is what it was.
Right.
Yeah, so...
Did Tyrone hear us?
Yeah, Tyrone, you're there, right?
Yeah.
And you could hear what people are saying, right?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Hey, Doc, what's going on? This Raj.
Oh, everything's beautiful. I'm just... I wish you guys was out here to this nice weather we're having.
Ah! Rub it in.
Snow's coming your way, man. We said it, so.
We're going to send you a couple of train
cars.
So Tyrone, he's in California now, is that right?
Yeah,
San Diego.
Yeah, so that record came out, and then what's the story? Did that get any play in Chicago, do you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they got a lot of play.
But now it's all on you to promote it, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we were a little smarter. We knew to, you know, we called upon Herb Ken and E. Rodney Jones and the guys down at WVON. And so we did get a lot of airplay
from WVON.
Yeah.
During that time, but you know, we knew how to go about doing.
We just didn't have the money, the funds to do what we needed to do.
Okay.
Right. In terms of distribution.
And were you still doing shows and touring or at all at the time?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
Okay. Yeah. So then, another thing that you did on the label, which is a very kind of unique thing that I can't think of any other groups doing, is you put out a whole album, but it was like a concept kind of album called the Easter album.
Yeah.
It's the Easter story. So
the Easter story.
Actually, I thought I would introduce it before we talk about it by playing on the B-side of the record. There's, I think it's Al Johnson talking, actually, about what the Easter story is. So I'm going to play him talking,
okay.
and then you can discuss it. So he's talking for a few seconds here. So this is Al Johnson talking about the Easter story.
Well, hello there. I'm sure you've just got through listening to the flip side of this record called The Easter Story. That was produced by Act 4 Productions. Now let me tell you a little something about Act 4 Production. It was started by a group of young teenagers who a couple of years ago were members of Teens of Talent on Chicago's West Side. A young lady who was a friend of Teens with Talent and also used to work for the Church Federation of Greater Chicago, asked Act 4 Productions would they do the Easter Story live for television. It was a kind of unusual thing because they had to read the Bible and get the stories out of the Bible. Well, most of these young fellas didn't go to church and didn't know too much about what the Easter Story was, including myself. So one day I get a call in my office. And he says to me, Al, I got the Easter story down pat, baby. I just read it in the Bible. It's the swingest thing you ever heard. And so I said, well, tell me about it. He said, well, this cat was standing in the garden asking for some help. And his buddy was outside the garden and turned the man loose on him. They bust into the garden, drug him out, threw him into the slams, tore his clothes off of him, put some sticks on his back and threw him in the streets. Right away I said, you know, that's not the Easter story. It couldn't happen that way. And he said, well, baby, I'm telling you, I just read it myself. Well, after I thought about it, I said, maybe this is what happened in his way of thinking. So that was the beginning of the Easter story. And the performers of the Easter story are the Conquistadors, Jimmy Hudson, and the Carnations. All members of Act 4 Production. And now, I'd like to tell you a little something about community life, which is this side of it.
Okay, so I guess as Al announced, you did an album where it was a concept album where it was the story of Easter from, I guess, a black ghetto youth perspective.
Right, exactly.
So, and then the whole B-side of the album is just sort of life on the west side of Chicago,
right,
like that type of story.
Yes, that's right.
So he says in the story on the record that you were approached to do this live on TV. Is that right? What happened?
Well, we were affiliated with different charitable organizations in and around Chicagoland area, and one of them was the United Council of Churches. And we would do television shows for them that came on Sunday morning. It was a program called Lamp Unto My Feet.
Okay.
It came on every Sunday morning.
Which channel was that on?
Channel 2.
Okay.
We would perform on that show quite often. And they saw us, caught our act, and asked us if we would put together something regarding the Easter story.
Okay.
And take the Easter story and set it to song.
Okay.
And then it would be a good idea then to perform that on this program, Lamp Unto My Feet.
Right? Okay. So
took the project to a different level after it began to evolve. And after we put it together and we introduced it at a Methodist church on the north side, I believe it was.
Yeah, north side.
Yeah. It just sort of took off.
Methodist, Lutheran churches,
Presbyterian churches. We performed it all over the United States, actually.
Okay.
And in Mexico.
So that's interesting. You pretty much did this. So first of all, did you cut the record first, or do it as a show first and then put it to record?
We did it as a show first.
Okay.
And then we cut it and put it to
record, yeah.
Put it to wax.
Okay. So and listening to the record, it sounds like, you know, you took little bits of the story and you wrote a song about each part.
That's what happened.
So I'd actually to give people an idea of what I don't have time to play obviously the whole record for the interview, but I picked one of what I thought was my favorite song that you guys did from the record. And then, so in between songs, there's narration by Jimmy Hudson.
Right.
And so he tells sort of what part of the Easter story you're doing, like what character from the Bible.
Is that it?
No. It's the I'm Free song.
Oh, okay.
I really like that song. So I'll play the record so that people can hear sort of what was happening in the story. So Jimmy Hudson would announce like a part of the Easter story, and then you guys would do a whole song about it. So this is one of the tracks you did off the record, and then we could talk some more about it.
Now here's a joker that just got out of jail. Never cared anything for anybody. Never served the community in any way, but still the people set him free from jail. Now on his first day of freedom, how do you think he felt?
Okay, that was just the Conquistadors with one of the tracks off of the Easter album with, I don't even know what was it called, Free at Last?
Yeah, Free at Last.
So what part of the story was that about?
Barabbas, wasn't it?
Okay.
That was when...
They let Barabbas out of jail, wasn't it?
Okay.
After Christ was crucified.
No, it was before Christ was crucified. They asked the people to set one of the...
Barabbas, it was Barabbas, guys.
Four guys.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who he was.
That's
but
right.
One of the guys the people set free.
Okay.
And who was it?
Who would that have been, Tyrone Barnabas?
Barabbas.
Right.
Okay.
Barabbas.
So the different songs are like about different, like there's a song, I think, about the Last Supper.
Yeah.
There's a song about, I think, Judas Kiss. Yeah. So there's different. So there's songs about like different characters and different events that
Absolutely.
You just sort of did songs about.
Right.
And then so you said the person doing the narration wasn't Jimmy Hudson on that one.
That was Bobby Neely.
Okay.
He was our drummer.
Okay. So then, but Jimmy Hudson. So first of all,
Jimmy Hudson sang that though.
Okay, and he sang on the other Act Four record that I played too, right? The one I played earlier. So who was Jimmy Hudson and how did he get affiliated with you?
Well, Jimmy Hudson was a part of Teens with Talent.
Okay.
And as we began to come together, I think he kind of took a liking to our group.
Okay. So was he like an individual singer?
He was
solo,
a solo singer.
Okay.
And he began to write songs for us, you know.
Okay.
And then as he wrote these songs, he introduced them to us. He began to arrange them and show us how he wanted them done, you know,
okay.
or how they should be done.
Okay.
And then the next thing you know, we were turning this into a record. That's how we did the last two records that are under the Act Four label.
So he became a member of your group, or at least singing on the records. He wasn't like a touring performing member, but he wrote songs and sang
right.
on some of them.
Right.
Okay.
He occasionally toured with us. If he would fill in for one of the guys if he was sick or something.
Yeah.
And if he did a solo, a lot of times we would do the background for him.
Okay.
Right.
And I know that he definitely had later records that were released, like solo records in the 70s.
Jimmy Hudson?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He had a few.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy Hudson,
right. He's
got
an
artist
got
in his own right.
Yeah. Yeah, now you're saying, yeah, he's doing gospel music, but I think in the 70s he had like two or three records that were actually released
mm-hmm.
on different labels. So then another thing we should talk about is there were a bunch of groups kind of affiliated with you guys, right? I don't know if they did shows with you, but one of the groups that's actually on the Easter album is a group called the Carnations, like
right.
a girl group. So what's the story behind that group?
Well, Tyrone, you probably would know more about the Carnations, how they came into being with us.
Yeah, the Carnations, three-member girl group who from the south side of Chicago, and we met them through one of the members, actually Guy Johnson, who was one of the singers in the group.
Okay.
One of the girls was his girlfriend.
Okay.
And when we got introduced to them, they came on over to Teens with Talent, and they could sing pretty good. And they just began to, we were all on programs together.
Do you remember the names of the people?
There was one girl named Beverly Hassel.
Okay.
And there was
Rita,
I forget Rita's last name, and a girl named Pearl.
Okay.
Right.
And they were friends prior to us. They were friends, and a couple of them went in high school. They grew up together.
Okay.
And they were a good girls group.
Okay.
They were a good girls group. Yeah.
So they ended up. So you ended up recording them. I think they never had any solo records except for on this Easter album that you had.
Yeah.
But do you know if any of them? You don't know if any of them went on to sing in other groups or anything like that, do you?
No.
Okay.
Kind of lost track.
Okay. So I'm going to play. They were actually very talented. You could tell on this record. They have real nice harmony. They sound good.
Yeah.
So I'll play one of the records, one of the songs that they had on this Easter album. So this is from the, not the Easter Story side, but the Living on the West Side side. I'm not sure the name of the song. I'll just play it and then we could talk some more. So this is a group called the Carnations.
Have you ever refused a quarter, then discovered you needed a dime? Well, here's a man on the cross wishing he had asked Christ to take him with him, but didn't. My pride deep down inside of me.
Okay, that was just a group called the Carnations, which I don't even know what the song was called because I don't.
Please have pity on me.
Okay, and so right now we're talking to members of the Conquistadors, talking about their group and the history of the group. So that was a girl group that sort of performed with you and was affiliated with you guys and ended up being recorded on the Easter album that you guys released.
Right.
So what happened? Also, one thing, what the Easter album, like, how did you sell it? Did you sell it in record stores or?
No.
Okay.
We actually, it went on the market through the Lutheran churches and the church organization.
Okay.
They sent, ordered it through us.
Okay.
Through Act 4 Production.
So was that just in Chicago or?
No, it was all over the United States. We had orders from people all over the United States asking for that record.
Okay.
And we just began to ship it out.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting that you sold the record through churches instead of the regular.
Ain't that something?
Yeah. It's definitely like a unique kind of thing. Like I can't think of any other example of like a concept album or because people weren't doing that until the late 60s when rock groups started doing stuff like that, and you kind of did something like that by accident.
Yeah.
It's to our understanding, we heard some years later that that someone from this Butler organization saw us performing the Easter Story, and that's how
Jesus Christ Superstar
was born.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, and then there's a picture of you guys in Jet Magazine, actually. It looked like it was around the, like maybe you were doing the Easter Story at the time.
Right, we were doing a live on location, a television show.
Okay.
On the north side of Chicago. Right.
And that was like in 67, I remember. Right. So that must be around the time the Easter Story was out, too. So you guys were actually on TV. Were you on TV a lot in Chicago?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you remember what shows you were on?
There would be Lamp Unto My Feet again. That was a regular show that we performed on regularly. We probably was on that show at least once a month.
Okay.
Then we would perform on specials that were produced by the Presbyterian Church or another Methodist church group, whatever special they were having.
Okay.
They would always ask us to perform. And that particular show where that photograph of us outside was one of those special programs that was being produced by the United Council of Churches.
Okay.
We were performing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting that you guys were on sort of religious program. Like the other groups I know were on TV might have been on Jim Longsbury's show or like, you know, but you guys were actually on religious programs.
Exactly.
So, and another thing I wanted to ask you was you were telling me that another group you were affiliated with was a girl group called the Etiquettes. And you were telling me that one of the members of Coffee came out of that group. Is that right?
Yes, Elaine.
So were they just another group that did shows with Act 4 Productions, or do you know what the story was with that?
Yeah. They basically just did shows with. They were a little younger than we were. They were just coming up, and they just kind of grabbed a hold. We was on our way up. I guess they just kind of pulled along with us.
Okay. So what happened then after that record release? That was the last thing you ended up doing. So how did the group break up, or what was the story like? Why there were no more records, or when did the group disband? Like what happened?
Can I answer that?
Yeah, we'll let you do it.
Well, what happened was along with during the period of time we were all still, you know, we were coming out of school, getting jobs. Actually getting married. So all of this was going on at the same time.
Okay.
And I actually, as we did not have one guy who was actual promoter, and by not having a guy on that job who was promoting for us, we began to lean toward our jobs a little more, begin to have children, and we began to spend more time with the family.
Okay.
And as time went on, we just kind of faded off into that, and Al Johnson decided he didn't want to be in that realm of the music industry anymore, and he kind of went with his family, and he had a job. He also, at the time, was working for the Bell Telephone Company.
Okay.
So his job called kind of pull him and us getting jobs and getting married and start having children. It was kind of a slow fade.
Okay.
And once we realized that we were kind of spending money out of our pocket more than we were bringing in, and our time was being consumed, we really couldn't do what we wanted to do, and we just kind of faded away.
Yeah, that's the story of what happened with a lot of groups. Like they ended up having families or getting frustrated because they didn't have the promotion. They've been together so long, they didn't have the promotion to become successful. So because there were so many talented groups in Chicago, but only a few got breaks.
That's right.
Or got big hits. So
that's right. We did a lot of things also for the unions in Chicago. A lot of people don't know we did things for the late Mayor Richard Daley.
Okay.
The senior, and we did what he would call neighborhood programs, and we were on the programs.
Okay.
And we also did things for the aldermen, and we were doing a lot of things. But like I say, we just didn't have a guy who was, his job was to promote and get out there and do the legwork, which we, being young guys, new into it, didn't realize the importance of having that.
Okay.
And we were kind of enjoying life as we went along, but not thinking, not having that kind of experience.
Okay.
And that kind of, that kind of went against us in the long run.
So, I guess, when did the group finally disband? Was it late 60s, around that time?
Yeah.
So into the early 70s sometime. So then, do you know, what did any of the group members go on? Like, I know we already mentioned Jimmy Hudson had some records, solo records in the 70s. Did Tyrone, were you involved with music ever after the group?
Yes. Well, like I am now, I've been blessed to play... I'm a guitar player in a gospel group
in
San Diego by the name of the Brothers of Praise.
Okay.
And we've done things. We've opened for the Mighty Clouds of Joy. We've opened for the Jackson Southern Airs and various other top gospel groups. And we have a CD out right now ourselves, and we're hoping that something will happen with that. And even if it doesn't, we're kind of older guys who are, we've been the route, and we just enjoy being able to still do music at our age.
Yeah, it's good to still be involved with that.
Right.
So did you ever, were you involved with any recorded music in the 70s at all?
No, not other than our group.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then did any other members go on to do, were you saying one of the members played with Motown later or something?
Not with our group.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one of the constellations.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was confused.
Yeah.
What are the rest of the guys? What are you guys doing now?
Working on the time.
But you guys sing in church too, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we sing. We sing basically now for the Lord only.
Okay.
I sing for the Lord. Roger and myself belong to Grace Missionary Baptist Church. It's on 167th in Crawford in Malcolm.
Okay. And you guys sing at church every week?
In the choir, and we sing solos,
Yes.
Okay, well, I got to say thanks so much for being up here and telling your story. Definitely interesting story. Definitely different from other groups I've talked to too. So, is there any last words you want to say to the audience?
Well, one of the things I'd like to say is that through our youth, when we were young men in grammar school and high school, we always managed to. We never got in trouble. We were always into our music and. We enjoyed ourselves. I guess we didn't have sense enough to know then that the kind of money that could be really made if we had the fortitude to stay with it, because we were just having a good time.
That's right.
We toured every summer. The little money we made, we.
And as hard as we practiced, we practiced all the time. I mean, it kept us out of trouble. We didn't have time to run with gangs.
That's true.
Get into criminal activity because we were too busy practicing trying to compete with other groups.
Right. We were perfecting our craft
and that's
our
a good
art.
Thing for the young kids. A good thing for people to take in consideration, get the kids involved in music. It's a good thing.
It is a fantastic thing. And another thing that I want to add to Bob is our musicians, just to give you an example, they had the tenacity. These guys, none of these guys, including Tyrone on the phone, were trained musicians.
Okay.
They are all self-taught musicians.
Okay.
They were too.
Right.
Tyrone learned how to play. Tyrone started playing a wooden box guitar.
Right. A hollow box.
A hollow box guitar. He drilled a hole in it and put a microphone in it and used a real tape as the amplifier. And that was his first electric guitar. And I mean, then our drummer, he started out playing bongos.
Okay.
Not a regular set of drums, and he taught himself how to play drums.
Because Tyrone was regularly the drummer,
right?
And he went on to play guitar.
Play guitar,
okay.
And we trained ourselves,
right?
Voice wise,
yeah.
We never had voice coaches or anything.
Yeah.
And we played some of the major theaters and venues in the Chicagoland area and other places in the country to be. Young men from North Lawndale, which was known as the ghetto all over the United States at that time.
Okay.
Starting out 13, 14, 15
years old. Yes.
It kept us out of trouble.
Kept us out of trouble. That's right.
Okay. Okay, well, thanks so much again for coming down and telling your story.
No problem.
Thank you.
So this last record that I'm going to play is the other side of your Act 4 record. This is called You've Been Good.